Welcome to Comics,
episode 236. This week, we talk about
Gundam Build Fighters Try.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes, see what we're reading next, send us a message, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics.
And now, the cast begins.
You're the one of the three of us that's a female, and I'm going to be raising a female. What's the thing your parents did correctly the most? Like, what's the thing that, like, you think should be emulated that your parents did?
I was handed a Boy Scout manual.
Oh, yeah?
And no, I mean it. Like, it was extremely useful. I can do all kinds of practical things that a bunch of my male friends can't. Like, I know how to light fires, I can sharpen knives, I can tie knots. I think girls are encouraged to be girly, and for some reason in our culture, like, there's nothing wrong with being girly, but it's also tied into this idea that you need to get other people to do things for you, especially things that people perceive as, like, unusual or difficult. So having people in my family encourage me to do very, like, hands-on stuff. Like, I can use power tools. I know how to do, like, basic woodworking. Things like that. I feel like they give me an edge.
Give me an edge on life.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if we're ever in the dystopian future, you'll actually be useful. I sure as hell will be.
I already have my commune picked out for the zombie apocalypse. I know exactly who I'm going with, and we're going to be mega competent and kill everybody else.
Seems legit.
So we have this family friend who's like a gun hoarder. He's like super competent at the outdoorsy survival stuff. And then my boyfriend's parents, between them, can do... They could probably run a homestead if they needed to, like out in the middle of nowhere. Huh. Yeah, otherwise I don't really know much about being a girl.
I didn't ask about being a girl. I just, you know, I can tell you, if my 6-year-old daughter comes to me and says she wants a bright pink mohawk, I will have considered the first 6 years to be a success.
So here's how I do it. I have two kids, obviously.
Yeah,
my older one is the boy, and the younger one's the daughter. So this is kind of how I go about it. I really don't do anything different between the two of them. You know, they play well together, and, you know, if Lucas is doing something and Dahlia wants to do it, that's fine. If Dahlia wants to do something that would be considered girly and Lucas wants to do it, then he can do it too. So, like, for example, so on Reddit the other day, there was a thread in Best Of about some guy who built a play kitchen for his kids.
Yeah.
And people were telling, you know, people on the internet were saying how he's going to turn his kid gay and stuff like that by giving him a play kitchen.
Internet.
Yeah, right. And so, and the reason it got to Best Of is because the guy basically told everybody to fuck off.
Nice.
And, you know, when my son turned two, he wanted a play kitchen because we decided to get him a play kitchen because when we would go places that had a play kitchen, he would want to play with the kitchen. And you know, like, boys can cook too. So it's like, it never occurred to me that it wasn't appropriate for a boy to have. And guess what? He doesn't really play with it anymore, but now Dahlia plays with the toy kitchen.
Hey, yeah.
And I think it's just because it's a cool toy to play with, and I don't think Lucas doesn't because he thinks it's girly. I think he just moved on to something else now. Or my nephew, for example. My nephew's 5, and when we were visiting them last summer, Lucas was having trouble sleeping because he wanted a stuffed animal, like a big one, to sleep with in the bed at the hotel. So we went to a toy store to buy one. And my nephew was with us, so we were going to buy him something too, and what he picked out was a Barbie that came with a dog. And, you know, it's like, oh, boy doesn't, why would a boy want a Barbie? It's like a big deal. And so the reason why it turns out, the reason why he wanted the Barbie with the dog is because the dog, you fed the dog and then the dog pooped and you cleaned up after it. and he and Lucas both wanted to play with the pooping dog, like, all the time.
That's legit.
And so, you know, it's just let kids play with that, whatever they want. You don't know how they're going to turn out because they're, my son's four. It's yeah. Like, I don't know what he's going to be like in 2 years, let alone when he's in 14 years from now when he turns 18. And it doesn't really matter as long as he's not like a criminal, you know?
Yeah.
That's my take on parenting.
I think David's got solid advice here.
You know what my number one piece of advice is? Like, even more before all that stuff I just said, it's use common sense. Seriously.
Yeah. Don't be a dumb fuck.
There were, like, ancient peoples who were raising kids without the internet, and, you know, the human race has survived this long, so you'll be okay if you just use your brain.
Speaking of using your brain, I got a dilemma, guys. So, like, in, like, September of last year, so, like, over a year ago, Sideshow announced they were going to come out with a Power Girl statue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put in a reservation for one. They had been on sale for a while, and I wanted the exclusive one. So I figured, no way is this waitlist reservation going to become an actual, like, reservation. And then I got an email today saying that your waitlist has been cleared, and we found one we can send to you. And now I'm like, fuck. Because I do kind of, I still really want it. But now my wife is unemployed, basically, on leave, and money's tight, and she didn't like me getting Liara too much. And Liara is at least, like, you know, fully clothed. Not that this Power Girl isn't fully clothed, but, you know, you've seen the costume. But I want it so bad.
I can't offer you any practical advice in this regard.
I got nothing for this.
Is it limited edition?
Yes, it's limited.
Put it on your Christmas wish list. I don't think.
I can't.
As much as you want.
It'll be gone. Like, so they have a normal variant and an exclusive variant. All the exclusives have been sold out for over a year.
Oh, man. Well, how much is it?
$400.
Oh, goodness.
I'm sorry. No, that is the proper reaction.
David, is it true that it costs, like, $1 billion to raise a child?
Yeah, it does. It's fucking expensive.
Andy, as much as I sympathize with you, I have to advise you not to buy that.
God damn
not
it.
Right
Why
now.
Did I get a child? I should have gotten a dog.
I think
no, those are so expensive.
Which is worse? Well, you have two.
Well, no. One of them was a freebie because the first one was broken. The first one was $10,000 broken.
Ugh.
More than Jesus. That, we went to consultations and stuff for her joint problems, and if we had chosen to do surgery, and the reason we didn't is because they didn't think it would actually help her at all and just make her sad, it would have been like another $10,000. So that's like a $20,000 dog, and a child lives like way longer than a dog.
That's true. You should add your dog's dependence to your health
and
insurance plan.
Typically, I think when humans start having joint problems, they're old enough to pay for their own damn health coverage.
Yeah.
All right, fine. I guess I'll cancel the Power Girl. I can get one of the shitty, cheaper ones.
Sorry, Andy.
How tall is this one? Let me look it up. Sideshow Power Girl. I just want to see how big it is.
Just rewatch that episode of The Simpsons where Homer stays at his shitty job and has, like, the do-it-for-her sign for Maggie. That's what you got to imagine.
Okay, look, but I'm looking at other sites, and, like, it's the same thing that happens with Comic-Con, right? Like, the Comic-Con exclusives, half the people online are people who own booths at the Comic-Con. And so the retail price for her is $399, but if you happen to have a reservation, well, maybe I can sell the reservation. I wouldn't mind selling that. Because there are sites that have a reservation selling her for $600. Just, like, straight up, I'll change the address to your place if you give me $200.
Hmm.
That could be.
Maybe I can do that. I hadn't even thought about that. Shit, I should get on more of these wait lists. Okay. Only for the good ones, though. And honestly, I don't know. The pose isn't particularly great.
Yeah. Yes, that's how you could tell yourself.
Yeah, that's what I need to tell myself. 21.5 inches high, including base. Well, I mean, I look at the, if you want to look them up, the two really good sideshow ones I'm looking at are the Power Girl and the Wonder Woman, and the Wonder Woman is such a more badass pose, because she's got, like, the spear, like, slung behind her with her shield and everything. Super badass. If only I was more of a Wonder Woman fan. Anyway, you guys ready to talk about this week's episode?
Yes.
Yes.
This week's comic.
All right. This week we watched Gundam Build Fighters Try. Specifically episodes 19 to 25, because one of us built the Denial Gundam, the one piloted by Junya, in the first, like, two or three episodes of what we watched?
Two?
Just the first two? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so somebody built the Denial, which was pretty cool. It was a good fight.
Yeah.
So this series is the sequel to Gundam Build Fighters, yeah?
Correct, that's correct.
Okay. What did you guys think of this?
Well, I think it's hard. It's kind of hard to rate. I mean, okay, so the...
Yeah, no, episode, we're not going to... Yeah.
The episodes that we watched were very entertaining. I'd watched that series already, mm-hmm. and I was happy to watch it again, so... I really, really... I like this one. I think I like this one better than the... than Build Fighters, the first series. Or I guess it... I guess it's the first series, because there's an OVA also, but... But we're not counting that right now.
I don't know. I'm like halfway through Gundam Build Fighters, and I super like that one more than this one.
Well, so did you watch all of Build Fighters Try or just the episode?
No, I didn't have time. I only watched 19 to 25. But it feels much more anime tropey.
This one?
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I feel like part of what we really liked about Gundam Build Fighters that took it a bit away from the tropey spectrum was that the characters were real people, and we didn't have any chance to see that because we started at the end.
Yeah.
So I feel like I have to be a bit more forgiving here, because I think it has a lot of the same charm, but I didn't, like, my main problem is I know who the main character is, and I'm kind of like, who the fuck are these people for everybody else? But that's not the fault of the show. I missed 18 episodes, so...
Yeah. No, and I should say this. I posted our unicorn one on Reddit, and, oh, man, r/Gundam was not nice to our episode. They were like, what the fuck are you doing reviewing this one? I can watch the whole thing. Hold on, let me find it. Let me find the actual comment. I said, like, that's a legitimate thing. What is it? I personally think means they should not be bothering to review it. If they're going to review something, even if they don't like it, they need to watch the entire thing to get an informed view. They don't watch very much Gundam, and it's obvious in the review. The validity of their review is questionable, as well as their credibility on Gundam is non-existent. Also, they don't even pronounce the names right, despite saying they watch the dubs. Which is like... Okay, I'm sorry.
It's a legitimate criticism.
It's a legitimate criticism.
But start your own podcast.
Oh, and my reply was, thanks for listening. You listened enough to have a genuine reply. And basically, like, we're too casual. This is a casual show. We're not, like, seriously reviewing stuff. All of our ratings are totally subjective. So I'm going to totally rate this just based on the 6 episodes. We're just here to have fun and be amusing.
Yeah, and I'm glad that people watched it, whether or not they enjoyed it.
Yeah, fuck yeah. I feel like this one, maybe less in the tropes of the characters, maybe more the art felt like way more anime, if that makes sense. Especially like the, when they're like fighting and like, I don't know. What was the kid's name?
The color shifts.
Yes, and Sakai, when his Gundam would get hit, he was like, oh, like on his back too. And I'm like, is there a pain? Well,
okay. Yeah, so.
That they installed?
No, it's not in. It's. See, this is why. If that is actually explained earlier in the show.
Okay.
It has. I forget exactly what it is. It has something to do with, like, he's very deeply connected with his Gundam.
Oh,
and that's basically what it is. Okay, and so that's why the guy he was fighting at in the final episode, Kijima, is the he is responding in the same way as Sekai.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes me more sense then. But yeah, like the color shifting and the like, oh, and they're like, I don't know, the like, you need everybody's reaction, like whenever anything kind of interesting happens. And it, like, I don't know. I feel like Gundam Build Fighters didn't do that as much. It felt more, not that the anime art is a bad thing. It just, I feel like it got in the way more often than it aided the awesomeness of the show.
Well, there, I mean, you know, it is anime and,
yes.
And genre, like any genre has its own tropes, right?
Yeah,
and I think that's probably
what's
going on here is, you know, there were tropes and you didn't like them for whatever, you didn't like the tropes here or, I don't know, I'm not trying to like.
I don't know, let me, okay, you know, have either one you watched Kill la Kill?
Some of it.
I'm going to get some haters here. Fucking hate that anime. I hate it so much.
But you know, okay. But even if you've seen it, you know how like they'll parody the character butting into the screen from the side, and then the bigger character from the other side, and then the even bigger closer up from the other side. This show actually did that a couple times, and not as a parody. I'm generally like cool with anime tropes with art, but there's a couple times I was like, do we really need action lines here for Mr. Rawl's reaction in the stands? Oh no!
Well, I mean, you got to think about it. It's kind of like a sports anime in a certain way.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah,
it is a competition, and
it's Gunpla, you know, MMA.
Yeah, and so they
actually,
this one
straight up is they talk about martial arts.
They want to get fan reaction, I guess.
All right, that's legit.
So and there's, and think about it, there's, instead of one person, it's instead of one-on-one fight, there's three people on each team, mm-hmm. and so you have to get the reactions of each of those people, and then their,
supporting cast.
Their support cast, yeah.
Yeah. I did like the setup of 3v3. It seemed, it added extra complexity to the fights. Because part of the thing that gets me about Gundam Build Fighters is, like, the invincibility of the protagonists, which, you know, you need to have. But in this one, like, you have a team of three, two of them can get pretty well fucked up, and you still have a fighting chance. Like, more believable drama during the fight to have three of them out there. And it made for more interesting fights, too. Especially the one that, like, healed herself up. That was sick.
Well, I think it's cool because it makes more, it's just more action on the screen, right? And
mm-hmm.
people like seeing giant robots fight each other.
Damn right. Yeah, so Mr. Rawl was a returning character, and so was Meijin Kawaguchi.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But not the voice actor for the Gundam Battle Table.
Did you look that up?
No, I didn't look it up. It was very just like jumping into episode 19, it was a very stark difference from like Gundam Build Fighters with like battle ended. Battle start. Like, it was very flat. And this guy, like, super emoted.
Well, you have to understand. <It was awesome. laughs> So, one of the things that might not have been clear to you, because you didn't watch all of it, is that it's the company who manufactures the
PPSE.
PPSE is not around anymore. It's Tajima Trading Company. Or Yajima? I forget.
Yeah.
So Andy, you said you've watched more of Gundam Build Fighters, right? You know Nielsen?
Yeah, he's awesome.
And so the blonde girl who becomes his girlfriend,
uh-huh.
the company that her father owns,
uh-huh.
is now the company who makes the Gunpla cables.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So then that would be what some of the functional stuff has changed. Okay.
And so, yeah, if you look at the logo on the GP base, it's not the PPSE logo anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you mention it, I do recall it was different. Okay.
Yeah.
So Meijin Kawaguchi's still there, and it's still, Yuki.
Oh, it's Yajima Trading Company. That's right.
Yuki Senpai.
Right. And now there's Lady Kawaguchi.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, is it just me, or do women, like, only build SD kits?
No, that's just those two.
Just those two? Okay. Oh, yeah, because the one that fixes itself was also a female pilot. Yeah, that wasn't.
And, so the star-winning Gundam was not, it was not, what's her name's, original Gundam in the show. She actually had a cardigan, or was it, so it's a GM, you know, like the soldier type Gundams from Gundam, the Earth Federation, like soldier type.
Oh, yeah. Like their base.
She has a kit like that called the GM powered cardigan. That's pretty crazy looking.
Nice.
But then she changes it to the star winning, whatever.
Okay. SD and this is probably a bias I carried over from the Gundam Build Fighters vanilla, because in that one there's like a girls tournament that China goes to, and it's like an SD kit fighting, and I don't know. For a second I was like, is there a weird sex bias in here?
No. Well, so like,
but yeah, I forgot that the one that I really like, the one that fixes itself, was also,
yeah. And one of the other major female characters we see, Gyanko, she doesn't use a SD kit. It's just Lady Kawaguchi and Fumina that mm-hmm. happen to have SD kits.
Okay. Fumina Senpai.
Well, so Mirai, who is the girl who's like the announcer,
mm-hmm.
she's Sekai's older sister, and she gets into Gunpla because of her brother, and she builds actually Yuma helps her build a bear guy. And so it's the bear guy family. So if you've seen the bear guy family kit.
Yeah.
It's that's the one she uses. And so she's in a competition with a bunch of it's a modeling competition.
Uh-huh.
And then part of the competition is that the models have a race with their Gunplas.
Uh-huh.
And it's the winner gets to be the MC for the tournament. And so she actually loses the tournament because she there's like this skeevy like rocker guy who's the MC for the modeling competition who's in the race too, and he's trying to like, I don't know, impress her or something with his Gunpla skills, and so they end up fighting instead of racing, and she beats him, but she loses the race. But then the woman who wins, it turns out that she's pregnant, and so she doesn't do that. She gives the job over to Mirai, because I think Mirai ended up being second place.
Okay. I've seen the Bear Guy kit, and it looked really cool. I almost did pick it up, actually, because Bear Guy is kind of neat.
She has the Bear Guy family kit, and the little bear is actually in the show is a like a backpack on the Bear Guy, and she can pilot it separate from the big mobile suit. It's pretty neat. It's a good episode. It's earlier in the show. It's before the tournament. And so there's also we kind of see them in the background of the episodes we watch. There's a set of triplets.
Yeah. Yeah, they show up in the Majin Cup quite a bit.
Yeah. So those three boys have SD kits.
Oh, okay.
They have
okay.
three matching SD mobile suits that combine into like this Hydra, King Ghidorah from Godzilla type thing.
Oh, like the Toyon 3.
Kinda.
The Trion 3. Trion.
Yeah, kinda. The Trion's much cooler, I think. That was actually one of the kits I was considering buying for our little competition, but our local Gundam shop. Our Gunpla shop did not have it in stock. Well, they didn't have it on the shelf, and I didn't want to
order it and then go back again. And
yeah, well, I didn't even ask, because they might have had it. On their website, it actually said that they had it in stock, but I was like, oh, I'll just pick something else, so I picked a different
one. Well, what was your guys' favorite parts of this six episode bit that we watched?
So mine is actually the fight with the Trion, because that mobile suit like takes me back to when I was a kid watching like Super Sentai shows like Power Rangers and stuff, where the giant robots combine into an even larger robot, and they're often like animals and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So I just really, really like that kit a lot. So that's probably my favorite episode from the six that we watched. I really like Lucas Nemesis's mobile suit also.
Yeah, that one's pretty cool.
The I forget, X1 full cloth, whatever.
Yeah, the crossbone.
Yeah,
crossbone, that one's yeah. Really-
There's another one that there was a white Zaku that looked pretty cool too, but it was only on screen for like all of 4 or 5 minutes.
Oh, see, so
in that, the episodes that we watched,
that guy is they're the White Wolf team. White Wolf, they're in it more in the beginning of the show too. Okay. And yeah, that white Zaku is pretty cool.
It's a white Zaku. It's baller.
The green Zaku that's on their team is really cool too. The one with the two shields with, like, the spikes.
Yeah, I feel like they missed an opportunity to have an all-Zaku team. They had, like, two Zakus and then some third other thing. Like, come on.
No, it
come
was on, a third Zaku, guy. Wasn't it?
No, it was some other thing.
I gotta look it up now.
Pretty sure it was some other thing.
But yeah, I agree with the, I agree with you on the, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
What about you, Jen?
The scene where, right before Lucas Nemesis fights the team captain, whose name I cannot remember, where he is Wilfred? Fighting...
Wilfred Kijima?
Yes. Where he's fighting all three of them, and Burly Man. I cannot remember anyone's name in this show. Sorry.
It's because we hopped on so late. We hopped on so late, and every team is like... at the end of their story arc, so they're all calling each other by their first names, but if you'd have watched them all, we probably would have known everybody's name. It was confusing, yeah. Probably because we jumped in so late.
I did poor research this week, too. I'll fully admit that, hey. But,
We're gonna get crushed by people online.
Whatever. Reddit can suck it.
Aw.
No, I love you, Reddit.
We love it.
I love Reddit.
Yeah. But... the scene where Lucas Nemesis is fighting the team captain and then the end Gundam.
Yeah.
I really liked that.
That's a cool name for a Gundam.
The end. I really liked that Gundam. I wish I had known about it before contest.
That guy is Saga Ado.
You can still build that thing, Jen.
I can. I probably will in my spare time.
After this, I'm gonna order an SD kit, honestly. There's a really cool, like, Endless Waltz SD kit with, like, the wings and shit.
Oh, cool.
That motherfucking thing. It looks awesome. By the way, David, if you want to put in an order for Gundam Planet for shit that's not at our local shop, let me know. I'm going to have to order it through them.
Okay.
We'll do that. Since I'm not buying Power Girl anymore, apparently.
Well, think about it this way. If you bought Power Girl, it cost you $400.
Yeah.
And you would just take it out of the box and put it on your shelf. And that would be great. But if you buy a Gunpla kit, you get it, you build it. Then you put it on a shelf, and you could pose it and stuff.
Plus, for the same amount of money, sure it's two perfect grades.
Andy, I'm pretty sure there's a Super Fumia kit.
Oh, Super Fumina?
Yeah, Super Fumina kit.
They actually make the Super Fumina kit?
Yeah, I just sent the link to you on Skype.
I am buying that.
And oh, man.
I will repaint it to be Power Girl.
There you go. Gundam Planet even has it in stock.
All right, I'm just going to add that shit to my order.
Oh, okay. Well, don't order anything yet, because I got to tell you what to add.
Okay. Yeah. No. Don't worry. It's gonna be a big order. I should send it to your place somehow if it doesn't freak out.
Actually, then let me order it, because I've been sending stuff to my mother-in-law's house because I got something stolen off the porch.
Oh, see, that's the thing. We do pretty good here about shit getting stolen off the porch.
It happened once, and it was like.
But it was like something. Your exhaust, wasn't it? An exhaust system?
No, it was a car part, but it was like gauge faces.
Okay, so nothing crazy, but
still was like $100. But
yeah, and of all the shit to steal, that's stupid.
Yeah, I was annoyed.
Yeah, I think for me, I have a favorite episode and an episode that that stirred up memories. Or not episode. I really did like the Super Fumina. I think it was. I thought the whole gimmick was hilarious, and it was a really good. It was a good like lightening of the show after the seriousness of the previous two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good lighthearted return to what it was supposed to be.
It was a good ending.
Yeah. And the other one I had was when Fumina is going to Yuma and like just like I have the key card. Sekai gave me the key card, so I'm just gonna go in there and see what the hell he's doing. And I was like, oh no, don't do that. Not to an early teenage boy. Oh dear God, no, he's in that room alone.
Andy, come on.
You didn't think of that, David?
No, I did not. Oh my God. I don't think this is the type of show that would go that way.
I don't think it would go that way. Anytime there's a teenage boy Jesus in a room Christ, alone, Andy. That's what I Come assume on. They're doing.
That's not the target demographic here.
No, I know. I don't know. I know that's not what was going to happen. It just flashed before my eyes, and I got really scared.
Have you guys watched the show Rick and Morty?
No.
No.
There is that exact scene in that show. Where Morty, who's like a 14-year-old teenager, has to explain to his dad why he should knock before coming into a teenage boy's room. And he's sitting on his bed, and he like is covered up to his waist.
No.
And he says, "Dad, you know, I'm a 14-year-old. You don't know what I could be doing in here, so you should probably knock." It's really like awkward and stuff.
Yeah, that is a legitimate fight that my wife and I had. If our child, but this is when we didn't know what gender it was going to be, or what, I should say what sex it was going to be. We don't know what gender it's going to be yet. At what age a lock on the door would be appropriate? We had a legitimate fight over that.
I don't think I would ever let my kids have a lock on their door, but I would,
exercise caution.
It does not just apply to boys.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. No. This is just a personal privacy issue.
Yeah. At a certain age, you gotta give them their space for yourself.
I wouldn't want them to completely, like, be able to lock me out, literally, but I would respect them enough to, you know, I don't want them to be like, if they're like in there shooting up heroin, I want to be able to bust in and that
kind of thing. Put an end to that.
Yeah. I mean, I will. That's a place where I would draw. That's a line I would draw.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just traumatized a little bit. Anyway, there was
Did
another
that
line
to you, Andy.
No. I was just always in constant fear. Like I survived on the fear boner. But like the other one that got me was in Sekai. What does he say? I truly don't understand Gunpla. And in the context of the show, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Like I don't understand Gunpla and like the complexities of fighting and this and that. But out of context, I was like, it's not fucking rocket scientist, bro.
You know, I gotta say, this is like, this world is Bandai's dream world. It's a world in which Gunpla are so coveted, like children would mug each other for them.
Yeah, and I mean, Ricardo Fellini can hit on women by offering them Gunpla.
Yeah.
Or Mao from the other one can pay people with Gunpla. Well, not really, but he tries to.
Yeah.
Like, that's the ultimate marketing scheme. Show children a world in which Gunpla is like the ultimate form of currency.
Not just children. Even though there wasn't a Gundam in here that I really wanted to build, you can bet your butt after this episode I was like, I'm gonna go Gunpla shopping.
Yeah, I kinda did the same.
It works on us too. I'm not gonna make this about children.
Well, so I started watching Unicorn again, and I then went to Gundam Planet and filtered by just the mobile suits from Gundam Unicorn.
Mm.
And I was like, wait a minute, I need to slow my roll here.
Yeah, because they're also not. Yeah.
Oh, well, a new Gundam series started recently called Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans, and there's a Gundam in it, and it's pretty freaking badass. And I went to Gundam Planet, put it in my cart, and then I thought, let me wait. Let me sleep on it. And then a couple days later, I went back to order it, and it was sold out.
Oh, no. That's the worst.
So now it's on back order.
Now you, this just reinforces your need to impulse buy. You and me, David, we need to reinforce our decisions to impulse buy. So tonight, I'm gonna confirm for that Power Girl, and you go on Gundam Planet and find something nice for yourself.
Don't do it, Andy.
So
do it.
God damn it. So I get permission to spend like $20 if you spend $400.
Yes.
Works for me. That works for me.
Okay. When it gets here, I'll say David said it was okay.
I don't think that will help you at all.
I'm just going to take a bus and throw you right under it.
I don't think I would be in much trouble either.
No, yeah, you wouldn't.
No, because it's not like I came over to your house and clicked it for you.
So is Junya the dick in this show?
No, he's only in, like, that series of episodes.
Okay.
There really isn't, like, a dick in this show. Okay. Everybody learns a valuable lesson about friendship, and it's very Pokemon.
All right.
It's all about the Gunpla. It's not about being mean to each other.
Yeah.
Except for Junya. Junya Inose.
Well, I don't but even he think... just wanted to be strong.
He just wants to be the strongest. Not the best, but the strongest.
But see, he went about it the wrong way, but in the end, he learned a valuable lesson, right?
Yeah, and he helped Sekai out.
Yeah.
Remember this technique. I never get that either about martial arts. Like, he just, like, does a thing against the dude and beats the shit out of him and says, remember this technique. And all of a sudden, Sekai, like, understands how it works.
Well, see, Andy, you're not a master martial artist, so...
Actually, David, I do have a black belt in Kenpo.
Well, I mean, you're not at the level. You need to get on.
No, I'm not on. I'm not master at all.
You're not on Sekai's level is the point I'm trying to make.
Oh, hell no. I do not walk around with my wrist taped up. I'm not baller like that.
Or in your gi all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, that weirded me out, like, that his gi was casual wear.
Well, there were times when he wasn't wearing it. It was his... Yeah. It was his
battle gear. Wore
for, yeah, it's what he wore for the battles.
Yeah, so he's in the t-shirt.
You guys, did you watch the little bits after the...
After the credits?
After the credits, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a part where, in the flashback with Junya and... Like, is walking to the edge of a cliff and his master's there, but he's all shadowy and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that part? And then it's at the end, too. Mm-hmm. It's like the very last scene of the show.
Yeah.
So that guy who, you know how he turns and you can see his face? Kind of like how you saw Thanos at the end of Avengers?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That character is actually the main character from G Gundam. The one where he's the Neo Japan Gundam pilot, Domon Kashu.
Oh, cool.
See, I've been wondering if there's some weird, like, cross-dimensional stuff going on here.
Well, I mean, there's...
Mr. Rawl definitely makes you think that there is.
Well, he looks like Rombo Rawl from... He's named Rombo Rawl.
Yeah, and he has the same Gundams.
Yeah.
Like, he builds Gunpla of Rombo Rawl's Gundams.
Yeah, so there are... I don't know if it's the same characters necessarily or if just nods, but
maybe like after you die in the Gundam storyline, you're reborn into this one.
Maybe.
This storyline is actually Gundam Purgatory.
This is Lost, right? They don't know that. It's like Lost, right?
Dead and they don't know it.
Yeah.
Where's Char?
Well, he came back in there was a Gunpla in the Meijin competition. That looked like Char.
Yeah, that's true.
That one was pretty cool.
Or fucking Yuki could be Char, as good as Yuki is.
But he might be Amuro.
He doesn't have the swagger that Char does.
He's got a lot of swagger, though.
That's true, he does.
He has a lot, dude.
I did like that he, like, entirely embraced Meijin and always has his hair up. And I love that still every time he fights, there's the acoustic guitar.
Well, did you notice that the trophies for the Meijin competition also had the sunglasses on?
No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, so the trophies are the same. It looks like they're the same shape as the Gunpla battle trophies, except they have the sunglasses.
Oh my god. I kind of want to get a pair of those sunglasses. There's an Etsy store that sells anime sunglasses, and I almost bought the Don Quixote ones as, like, for shigs a while back. But
oh, that would be pretty rad.
They're pretty cool. They're just, like, they're not, like, actual sunglasses at all. They're just 3D printed, and then they put in, like, film almost. Not like flimsy film, but, you know, like a nice, like, pink film for the Don Quixote one. Not Don Quixote, Don Quixote, Don Flamingo, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I like
it. I'll link you that Etsy store.
Yeah, you're going to have to.
Oh, yeah.
I like One Piece.
Yeah. Oh, you get those, and I will get the Aokiji ones. Well, those are just round ones.
Oh, did I send you? This is like, we're going on a deep tangent here, but I need put this one. I don't know if I sent it to you, Andy, but there was a, somebody on, I don't remember, Reddit or something, where somebody put, Aokiji. He replaced Elsa from Frozen with Aokiji.
I saw that one. That was on the One Piece subreddit. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There. Yeah. It was on. That's where I found it. Anyways,
yeah.
We're probably pissing off all the Gundam people now. if no, they're silly.
Whatever. They know. They know.
Guys, we like Gundam and Gunpla, but we're super casual.
Yep.
Well, so, and the only that really got me to like laugh was when he was like, obviously they don't have a deep knowledge of Gundam, and I'm like, yeah. No. I'll beat you at Star Wars though.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as if the thing is, it's not like we're not pretending that we know a lot about this. We're coming at this from a casual perspective. That's kind of the point, right?
You know what I did really like?
And now, though, you know, I won't disagree that we couldn't give a fair.
And we said that in the episode. I'm pretty sure we did.
You know, so. And like Andy said at the beginning of this episode, our ratings really mean nothing at all.
No, not even a little bit.
We do this for funsies. I mean, that's pretty much all there is to it.
So, you know, if you don't like it, that's fine.
Speaking of funsies, you guys want to drop it and rate this?
I mean, yeah, let's
sure.
By the amount that we've been fucking around, I feel like we're ready to just rate it already.
Okay.
Jen, how about you go first?
I might give this a 4. Despite not having watched all of it, I actually found it incredibly charming, and I like it. It embodied a lot of, like, what I think is, I don't know, like, just the silliness and the joy that you see in some animes. Like David said earlier, like, this is comparable to a lot of sports anime, where it's, like, super specific and there's people who are obsessive about a thing you have no understanding of.
Man, if you guys ever watched...
like, okay.
Have you ever watched Prince of Tennis? That show is awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever played tennis, but that anime is sweet. Sorry, Jen, I interrupted you, but I...
No, that was... Yes, I second this. but yeah, I will go back and watch the rest of this. I enjoyed it, so 4.
Okay, I'm gonna give this a 3.5. I think I gave Gundam Build Fighters a 4. If I didn't, I want to give this a 3.5. And as much as, like, after having watched Unicorn and having, I'm reading more of the original manga of Mobile Suit Gundam, the origin. So that's really, like, cool for me too, because I'm at the point now where he's fighting Rumble Rall and the Goof is out there. And I gotta say, like, in this one too, it's neat to see the customizations and alterations of the classic Gundams. And it's cool because it makes you, because they customize it, makes you more interested in doing it yourself and having fun with Gundam. And that's what the show's out there to do, and it's really successful at it. But I think the reason I don't like this one as much as Gundam Build Fighters is the heart in Gundam Build Fighters seemed more earnest, and this feels more artificial. And it might be because we watched it, like, starting at episode 19. That's probably why it feels more artificial to me, but this feels less genuine of that, like, from the heart kind of thing. I don't know. I think that's the best I can articulate, but still 3.5. I still had a good time watching it, because the fights were still awesome.
Would you recommend this?
Yeah, if you like the other one, and if you like Gundam or Gunpla at all, or anime at all. I mean, it's pretty universal, but I can tell you my wife would not last 2 minutes watching this, so it's not, like, real universal.
Yeah, I will say I would never show this to my boyfriend. I think he would detest it, but...
Well, you know, everybody's got different tastes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think if this was anywhere near somebody's wheelhouse, I would probably recommend it. David?
I'm definitely gonna... I'm gonna give this a 4.5.
Because you've watched the whole thing, so you have a much better
idea than that. I really like this one. I like it at least as much as I liked Build Fighters. You know, I'm a pretty casual Gundam fan, but I think Gundam is a really important entry into the anime genre. And in mecha particular. And so, yeah, maybe I don't know everything about it, but, I think it's very cool. Like, I don't think I've ever watched a Gundam show and thought, this sucks.
You know, wasting my time.
But some are better than others. And that's just going to happen when there's, like, nearly 35 years worth of media, you know? And so, you know, even if we're not, like, super serious, you don't have to be to appreciate something, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Anyways, I'm going to give this 4.5 because I really, really like this show. And if you like it even a little bit, co-hosts, you should go back and watch it if you have time.
I do. I am going to. I want to get through Gundam Build Fighters before I start Build Fighters Try.
Yeah.
They're both on my list, definitely. Yeah.
And thankfully, these are still on YouTube. I don't know why they took down Unicorn, but these are both these series are still on YouTube. All right, you guys ready for Fight Night?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that was a yes. Okay, so the reason I've been so quiet tonight, I feel like this is actually deserving of an explanation, is because my dogs are being dickheads, and they're sitting under my desk, and they're playing, but when they play, they snort like pigs, and it's really loud. So I've been keeping my mic muted like half the time, so we don't get like honking and snorting like through the whole podcast.
All right. Well, this week's Fight Night is brought to you by Patreon. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics, become a patron today, and you can do awesome stuff. I'm trying to think of better like patron perks. If you're a current patron or you listen to the show, drop us a line on Patreon, Facebook, through the contact page at welcometocomics.com. Whatevs. Let us know what kind of perks you'd like. I'm trying to think of cool stuff we could do, like, I don't know, have a call-in episode or something. I don't know. I'm just really... I feel like I want more interaction with our patrons. So if you're a Patreon patron, tell us what you want us to do. That's straight up, like, what do you want for a Fight Night challenge to be? What do you want for a trivia challenge to be? What do you want for the next comic we read to be? You can let us know if you're a patron, so go to patreon.com/welcometocomics today. The topic this week, which Green Lantern would be the best Gunpla builder and fighter?
Fight Night. Round 1.
All right, so the reason I went with Kyle Rayner is because he's the artist. And I think part of the success that we see in Gundam Build Fighters and Build Fighters Try is creativity. And so these people in the show take these, canvases of Gunpla kits and put their heart and soul into them. And that's why people like Sekai can succeed and have such a deep connection with a model is because you need to put your soul into it. And, and as the artist of the Green Lantern Corps, Kyle is the best at it. So Kyle Rayner.
Round 2.
I'm fronting for Guy Gardner because you know what? He might not be the best artist out there, but he is definitely the best fighter of all of the Green Lanterns. And let's face it, he's not going to build the best quality model, but he will build the biggest model out of anybody. He's the one who will come in with, like, the super... If this is an HG kit battle, he'll make a perfect grade just to fuck with everybody, and it'll be made to shit, but all he has to do is fall on you. And he's the one who wants to be the strongest all the time, always. So much about this show and Gunpla battling is about heart and your determination to win. And Guy Gardner is the cockiest, winningest motherfucker of all of the Green Lanterns.
Except when he gets punched in the face by Batman.
Well, you know what? Batman's not a Green Lantern.
Well, except that one time he got a ring in, like, an alternate universe. God.
Yeah. Jen, what do you got?
Nerd.
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 Round 3.
So, I actually feel bad because I put this in, like, 5 seconds before Andy. But I'm going with John Stewart. And it's because the question is builder and fighter. So first off, John Stewart is an architect. And in the Green Lantern comics, we see him think about his constructs from an architectural perspective. He designs each individual part and then puts it together. He has a really strong concept of how the pieces actually work in what he builds. And I think that would make for really strong Gunpla building because... You know, he would understand things like weak points. He would understand the mechanics of it, that kind of thing. But also a fighter, because he was in the Marines. So I think that would give him, like, a general edge on, like, you know, basic combat, but also leadership and strategy. And that's really important, especially if you're in, like, a team of three instead of going solo.
All right. Let's get in some voting in. David, who you got?
I'm sorry, Andy. I feel like I always vote for Jen, but she sold it better.
She's better at this than me.
Well, see, here's the thing. I don't I don't think Guy is even in the top three.
Oh, you think Hal would be better?
Well, Hal's a pilot.
Ugh. You know, we didn't even specify Earth Green Lanterns. I should have gone with, like, Mogo.
Just you could have.
Huh. How would that work?
Why do we all choose Earth Green Lanterns? Man, missed opportunities.
Because we're racist. Everywhere.
We're biased against non-human.
Yeah, fucking Soren Ignatu. She'd be awesome at this.
She'd be a great doctor. Maybe she could have a big Gundam that repairs itself. Anyways, I'm going to go with Jen. Sorry, Andy.
Yeah, it's okay. As much as I like Kyle Rayner, as much as Kyle Rayner is my lantern, I feel like he just would not be a good fighter. The thing is, because it's builder and fighter, I think Kyle Rayner would be the best builder. As much as John Stewart would make something structural, I don't think he would make something nearly as beautiful as Kyle Rayner and put in as much heart and effort to it as Kyle would. But Kyle's not a fighter, so yeah, I got to go with John Stewart too. That's a point for Jen.
Winner, Jen.
All right.
Jen, who would you have voted for?
So, I'm sorry, Andy, but I have to go with David.
Not even the pity point.
I'm sorry.
No, it's my missed opportunity. I should have said fuck it and gone with like Mogo or something dumb. Or Nort.
Some of this has to do with, we learned that Sayori's build-burning Gundam won the world championship last time. And that kind of swayed my vote, actually, because David's right. It's like the creativity and heart that you put into building the Gundam that can make it strong.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, I know that Say had an ace pilot with his Gundam. And I don't know if that goes all the way through the end. I only watched the beginning of that series. But I will say that even if you can fight really well, you need to start with a good base Gundam. And I think that's where Kyle Rayner would shine.
Yeah.
Probably better than any other Green Lantern, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
No, because at the end of the day, we all know Guy Gardner would have made a Super Fumina Gundam. It would have been something just stupid.
He would have been that guy, yeah.
He would have been that guy. Oh, man. Who'd be other good, like, non-Earthling candidates?
Sinestro.
Oh, Salak? Yeah. Salak, yeah, the like, the
logistician. He could win. He'd be a good team leader.
Yeah, he'd be a good tactician.
Yeah.
What about, why can't I think of his name? It's Kilowog.
Yeah, Kilowog, I don't think Kilowog would be... I think he'd be a good builder.
I think he'd make a strong Gundam, but then, you know, because he's got a gentle soul.
Yeah, he would be the Junya, I think. Ooh, Jade. Oh, Alan Scott's daughter?
Oh, yeah.
Because Gundam building would be in her blood.
What about Alan Scott?
No. Alan Scott would be Mr. Rawl.
Yes.
That would be the nail. He'd be respectable in both fronts, but he wouldn't be the best.
All right.
He'd be the mentor figure.
Yeah, Guy Gardner's more of the Ricardo Fellini, but scumbaggier. Yes.
Yes. Now, if this were a contest to pick up women with your gunpla, Guy Gardner all the way.
Guy Gardner. All the way, all day.
Except he would try to impress him with the biggest mobile suit.
Yeah. All right. Missed opportunities. That's the hashtag for this show. Balls! I should have gone with Mogo. Anyway, that's it for our gunpla thing. So, next week... after this show comes up, if you go to facebook.com/welcometocomics, we're going to have all of our Gunpla up, and you click like on the one that you like. It's that simple. And whoever gets the most likes after, I don't know, a month, we'll say? Or until we stop getting votes, that'll be the one that wins our Super Welcome to Sugoi Comics Mega Gundam Building Throwdown.
Over David's.
I think that's what it was called. But you're not going to know who built what. We're just taking pictures. There's going to be a picture of the front, a picture of the back, and a cool action pose picture. So go to that. Facebook.com/welcometocomics. Vote for your favorite. The winner will get, I don't know, a trophy. It'll get my gun plug because I don't like mine. I'm not happy with how mine come up. So it's yours if you win.
Just spray paint it gold or something.
Hey, like afterwards. I did with a hockey trophy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it for Gunpla. Next week, we're going to start a Batgirl series. We're going to read Batgirl Year One by Chuck Dixon. And after that, we're going to read Batgirl Silent Running by Kelly Puckett. And after that, Batgirl Rising by Brian Q. Miller. So we're going to read a Barbara story, then a Cassandra story, then a Stephanie Brown story.
Did you say Kirby Puckett, like the baseball player?
Kelly Puckett.
Oh, I say Kirby Puckett. That's like a throwback.
So we're gonna three of the Batgirls, and we're gonna talk about who we like. And I might be unfair because apparently Batgirl Year One is one of the best like Bat family comics ever written. So Barbara might have an unfair advantage going on here.
I think she already does. Honestly.
Barbara always does. I mean, yeah. Even without legs, she's still badass. So it's kind of an unfair advantage.
She had legs; they just didn't work.
No, yeah, that's true. They didn't go away. Man, there's an episode of Green Lantern, or there's an issue of Green Lantern where Kyle Rayner uses his ring to, like, permanently fix a dude's legs. Just like some random dude that he walks by on the street. And, like, good on you, Kyle, but also, you, like, personally know somebody who's paralyzed. Couldn't you do it? I don't know. Kyle, what are you doing, man? Make better life decisions. Go help Barbara. Anyway, that's it for this week. Next week, Batgirl Year One by Chuck Dixon. Until then, everybody, goodbye!
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I got mine. I got a Mobetta one.
Oh, I do too.
Wait, I didn't get a Mobetta one yet. You guys are...
Dude, really? We can't... You guys... Hey!
God damn it! Josh Jordan is obviously the best choice, then.
We should both pick something different. No Green Lanterns.
No, we can all do Green Lanterns. Okay. Let's all do Green Lanterns.